Welcome to Focal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is Dr. Greg Jantz. He is an author and also a counselor. And we're going to talk about turning your down into up, a realistic plan for healing from depression. Dr. Jantz, welcome to the program.
Hey, very good to be with you again.
And give us an idea what you actually do.
I'm the founder of the Center of Place of Hope. This is our 30th year, Jerry. My goodness.
Oh, congratulations.
We were voted by an independent news organization as one of the top places in the country to receive help for depression. And we work with people all over the United States. And I have a book here on depression, and I believe there's hope.
Huh. All right. And in your work, who do you deal with primarily? Teenagers, middle-aged people, young adults?
Well, one of the things that we work with is the increasing numbers of anybody with depression. We're seeing young people, teenagers, record numbers of depression. We see a lot of adults, 30s, 40s, and older who have suffered, and I mean suffered long-term with depression for a long time.
Hmm. Well, now you're a Christian, right? Christian counselor? And
We are a Christian facility.
Yes. So, is it just enough to say, okay, take two scriptures and call me in the morning?
Well, that's a great place. I want you to have that foundation. It's the foundation of our faith that is going to build us for long-term recovery. And we want to look as God designed us at the whole person. Whole person being such things as our relationships, our body chemistry, our spiritual health, our emotional health, looking at that whole person.
Now, as you deal with so many different clients, and I'm sure some of them have some pretty complicated problems, do you ever get depressed yourself? You know, like, oh, my goodness, it just
well,
never
you know,
stops.
There's something, you know, Jerry, there's something called situational depression. It's due to a situation, maybe a loss of a job, a loss of a loved one, financial stress, but it's a situation, and it's situational, and with time, this passes. And this is such that we walk through it. We usually grow stronger. So that's normal, part of the human condition. But we're talking about a depression here that doesn't go away. It's a clinical depression. It's a depression that maybe you've had for years, and you go, nothing seems to work. What do I do?
Hmm. And I imagine in some of those cases, there literally could be a physiological problem that underlay the whole issue, and they don't even realize it.
Exactly. And that's why we want to pray. When you talk about faith, you know, it's so important. Let's look at praying and asking the Lord, give us wisdom to find those missing pieces to the puzzle. And there are missing pieces.
All right, tell us a story. A story of somebody that you've dealt with, and give us a success story.
I think of a gentleman that had gone through so many doctors and counselors. He was in his early 50s. And severe depression, and in fact, it would borderline on that despair. And obviously he loved the Lord, and he was struggling. He tried everything and all the pills, and he came to us, came across the country. And one of the things we do is we ask about what are you putting in your mouth. In other words, what are you eating and drinking? All the years of seeking help, he had never been asked, you know, what's he putting in his mouth, what he's eating and drinking. And Jerry, he was drinking about 10 pots of coffee a day. Can you imagine? And the pots, so that's about, for him, it was 8 to 10 cups of pot. So he's in excess of, you know, at times 80 cups of coffee in a day.
Oh, my goodness. I drink a lot of coffee, but, I mean, nothing like that.
So as you look at this, you go, wow, and you mean nobody's ever asked you what you put in your mouth. And you can see that that really is a factor as it relates to our wellness or lack of wellness, what we put in our mouth. So do you think maybe when we got some of that coffee out of decreased some of that caffeine level, we would be able to see some, you know, a missing link in his care, and that certainly was the case.
Wow. And so what ended up happening?
Well, that was one of many things, but as we began to look at his diet and all the sugar and caffeine, that was really working against him having a healthy brain, of course.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Now he just has it as an IV drip? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Tell us another story, an example where somebody had a problem of depression and, you know, you, by the grace of God, were able to treat them. And, you know, what was the story? What happened?
Well, you know, we see lots of stories of folks because sometimes we're what's called their last hope. And maybe you've done a lot of different things. And so we're seeing folks who are coming in with, an average 5, 6, 7 medications and just feeling overwhelmed and feeling desperate and going, you know, something's not working. And we do this in a unique way. Everybody has a personal team. So we do this as a team, and we believe there's always hope. Our theme verse is Jeremiah 29:11, a future and a hope. And we believe that for everybody walking through our doors. And so when I penned this book on depression, and, you know, turning your down into an up, I believe there is an opportunity. I believe there can be. And if we seek proper care and pray for wisdom, there can be a real up in our depression. There can be answers. I believe there's always answers.
All right. So in your book, Turning Your Down into Up, why don't you just give us kind of a quick overview of the book itself?
You know, it's a whole person philosophy. So we're going to look at, you know, is there a history of relationships in your life that have been oppressive, abusive, emotionally abusive? Is there unforgiveness in your life? Is there issues that fall under this emotional heading that has really made you sick? And you need to deal with those or deal with an oppressive relationship or abuse from the past. Maybe that's some post-traumatic stress disorder. Maybe there was sexual abuse or something significant in the past, and you've never recovered from that. And so your way of dealing with it has been through some very disabling depression. We're going to look at body chemistry. We're going to look at, hey, are your adrenal glands, are they stressed out? Are your adrenal glands even functioning? Hormonal levels, thyroid? We want to see and know what's happening in your brain, for example. So this is the book's all about taking the whole person approach. And the philosophy is keep going, keep finding, see it as a big puzzle, and we're going to keep finding those missing pieces to that puzzle.
Comment on guilt, if you would.
Well, you know, there's true guilt, there's false guilt. True guilt really means I messed up, and I need to seek forgiveness. I did something, said something, but I need to seek forgiveness. But there's a guilt that you may be suffering from with depression that we can easily call false guilt, and you just feel a lot of shame. False guilt can lead to a sense of shame. A shame simply means I feel defective. There is something about me that's not right. I'm not good enough. God can't love me. I'm not lovable by others. In some way, I feel defective.
Now, I would say, add to this real fast, the fact that if somebody is feeling truly guilty, in other words, it's what you call true guilt feelings, the answer there is, of course, confession of sin. It's accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. His blood pays for our sins and then frees us. But then how does somebody deal with, let's say, false feelings of guilt, where, let's say, they've confessed their sins, but they still feel guilty anyway?
You know, and I think that's walking out the truth over and over and over. And that's that false guilt we're talking about. So as you think about this and the bondage, you know, the enemy in a spiritual sense can keep us entrapped, because guilt really is guilt and fear paralyzes us.
Mm. Yeah, there's a great statement in John, 1 John, about how perfect love casts out fear. I'll bet you that's kind of almost a counselor's gold mine there. I mean, just in that one verse.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the guy that wrote the song, he won an Oscar for it. There's Got to Be a Morning After in the 1970s for the Poseidon Adventure. He suffered from something called agoraphobia. His name is Al Kasha. He also wrote the music from The Towering Inferno. You remember those 70s disaster-type movies?
Oh, my.
But
but
he suffered from agoraphobia, and it almost cost him his marriage. And then he was living in a small little apartment, you know, away from his wife because of his problem. And then he heard a TV preacher in the middle of the night, and he quoted that verse, perfect love casts out fear. And something in that verse just grabbed his heart, and he ended up becoming a believer in Jesus, and it really solved his problem.
Yeah. Well, that's what we want to do. And what we want to say today is, irregardless how long you've suffered from depression, how paralyzing it is, how strong the guilt is or fear. We are not to give up. We are to persevere. And, you know, my book's not a magic answer. I mean, my book's great, but it's not the magic pill either. But it's to be a guide to help you look and to look under, maybe look under some of the rocks you haven't looked at before, as you really look for a cure and help for depression. Maybe one of the things you can do is take my depression survey. It's a free survey. It's confidential. It's private. You can go online, take the survey questions, and see what score you have. See how many different symptoms you may be experiencing, or a loved one. And simply go to aplaceofhope.com. That's aplaceofhope.com. Take the nutrition or, survey that relates to depression. There's some nutrition questions on it. But let's do something today. Make a decision today.
All right, we're talking right now with Dr. Greg Jance, and his book is called Turning Your Down into Up. You can get more information at aplaceofhope.com. This is Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point. Dr. Jance, how about a comment about sleeplessness? I'm sure some of your clients have problems with sleep issues.
Yes, I've been involved in sleep research at the University of Washington a number of years ago.
Really?
And what we know is that oftentimes depression, we're not falling in the same order of sleep stages that we need to and as much time. So we tend to never feel rested. We tend to have very disruptive sleep. And so we're not progressing through those sleep stages as we need to. Sleep always needs to be looked at. If you can improve sleep, you're going to improve cognitions, your thinking, and you're also going to improve motivation. So we wanted to talk about improving our sleep. Depression and sleep disturbances usually go hand in hand.
Huh. Well, what's the solution if you're feeling sleepy? And obviously the solution is not 8 to 10 pots of coffee a day.
Well, you know, there's something called sleep hygiene. Sleep hygiene, am I doing things that help or hinder my sleep? Am I looking at a lot of screen, iPads, tablets, you know, up to an hour before bed? What we know, for example, even that blue light, we call it blue light. TV is not blue light, but the blue light over time. Now, this is over time.
Do you mean TV? Just so we understand what you're
saying. Not TV. It's your tablets, your pads, iPads, your
computers.
Phones. Who give off the special form of light that's referred to as blue light.
Okay, okay.
And we know over time, too much blue light is disruptive to our sleep. So we have a little rule, you know, stay away from technology an hour before bed. Tends to help. So that's just one thing that can fit under the heading of our sleep hygiene.
Oh, I knew I was right. I've been kind of reluctant so far about Kindle, and instead I always just prefer old-fashioned books.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Now I know why. Because I like to read before I go to bed, you know. It's good. It's a great thing. But that's an interesting point. Any other tips on that point? Because I think you're right that sleep is kind of if you get regularly good night's sleep, that will help with everything, including your health and mental health.
So many things that relate back to sleep. So what we do know is, in fact, there's some good information in the book on sleep, that if we can do things that will improve our sleep. Now, if you've got anxiety issues and you're waking up during the night and your heart's pounding, you know, there are things that one needs to have in order in their life for good sleep. So many different things that we look at as it relates back to sleep.
You know, before we leave the subject of sleep, what about the idea that, you know, instead of having any kind of medicine or something like that or sleeping pills, are there just any kind of herbs or something like that, you know, vitamins that might help with the sleep process that are,
well, there
you know,
certainly are things that tend to be helpful.
Such as?
Everybody responds different. Such things. There's melatonin you can take as a supplement. There's valerian root, which is an herb, which is a calming herb. But it really depends, because so many factors in there. If you've drank a lot of coffee all throughout the day, we probably wouldn't expect the melatonin and valerian root to work too well. So we got to look at everything going on.
Sure. Okay, good. What else would you like to say about depression? Turning your down into up, a realistic plan for healing from depression.
I want to say that there is hope. And don't give up. And if you've been suffering and 3 months have passed, or it's been 3 years or longer, don't give up. There are always missing pieces to the puzzle, and it can be found.
Excellent. Okay, Dr. Gregory Jantz. Again, his website is aplaceofhope.com, and the name of his book, Turning Your Down into Up. Dr. Jantz, thanks so much. God bless you.
Good being with you.
You too. Bye-bye.